Hi, it's Dave. The stats are out, and the Tesla Model 3 has outsold both the Honda Accord and the Toyota Corolla in California last year. In this video, I'm going to share my thoughts on these stats and what it tells us about Tesla's growing dominance. And also at the end of the video, I'm going to share some thoughts on the coronavirus and today's market drop. The California New Car Dealers Association has released their latest report with complete stats for last year, 2019 auto sales in California. And the report has some enlightening stats that I want to take a deeper look at and look at the ramifications as Tesla investors. In terms of adopting new technology, California tends to be quicker than most other states. And there are a few reasons for this. First, California is geographically close to innovation and to innovation centers. Most notably is Silicon Valley, and you have lots of tech companies and innovations happening there. And also, there's just more openness toward technology, and there's more optimism toward technology and what it has to offer us personally, but also for society at large. So looking at California can kind of give us some clues as to maybe what kind of trends that are popular in California might spread to other regions or even globally. And in that light, I find this report about California auto sales as kind of interesting. And I want to dive into what I think is the 10 most interesting stats in this report. Number one, new vehicle registrations in California look strong. In 2020, California is expected to sell about 1.82 million vehicles. Now, this is slightly down year over year in the past few years. However, it's significantly up from over 10 years ago. Second, cars are losing market share to SUVs in California. Last year, car sales were down 12% year over year, and that's a major drop, while SUVs were flat. The preferences of buyers are clearly shifting from smaller cars to larger vehicles, and especially to SUVs. When you talk to people, typically their responses are, well, it's a bigger car, you have more cargo space, you can fit more people, and you're higher up off the ground. And also some people feel safer actually in a bigger car. Whether or not this trend is right or whether I approve of it, that's besides the point. The point is, however, the trend is clear and people are gravitating to these larger vehicles. Number three, the largest car market in California is by far these non-luxury SUVs. The market for non-luxury SUVs is about 31% of the market. And you can compare that to the next largest segment, which is small cars, which is about 19% of the market. Number four, electric cars make up 5.3% of all new car sales in California. Now, this trend is increasing over time. However, what's interesting is there isn't really a lot of other electric cars that are being sold in mass besides Tesla. In fact, of the top 10 cars and SUVs and trucks that are sold in California, there's only one electric car that fits into that list, and that's the Tesla Model 3. Number five, hybrid and electric new car sales make up 13.2% of the market. Now that's quite impressive. You know, we're talking about probably one out of every seven or eight or so cars are either hybrid or electric. Number six, here are the top new vehicles that have been sold in 2019 in California. I'm gonna list them out from the most popular at top. And number one is the Honda Civic at 75,900 vehicles. Toyota Camry comes in at 63,400 vehicles. Tesla Model 3 comes out at 59,500 vehicles. Honda Accord comes out at 58,300 vehicles. Toyota RAV4 comes out to 55,700 vehicles. Toyota Corolla comes out to 54,100 vehicles. Ford F-Series truck comes out to about 50,000 vehicles. Toyota Tacoma truck comes out to be about 44,600 vehicles. And the Honda CR-V, a small SUV, comes out to be about 39,800 vehicles. Number seven, the only two vehicles that sold more units than the Tesla Model 3 was the Honda Civic at 75,900 vehicles and the Toyota Camry at 63,400 vehicles. Now, let that register in our minds for a bit. In California in 2019, the Tesla Model 3 at 59,500 vehicles was the third top selling vehicle across all cars, across all trucks, across all SUVs. In fact, the Tesla Model 3 outsold the Honda Accord, the Toyota RAV4, the Toyota Corolla, the Ford F-Series trucks, the Toyota Tacoma, Honda CR-V, and every other car and truck and SUV out there. Now, this is quite historical. You have a pure electric car in the top three of all vehicle sales in California in 2019. This is just a sign of what's happening ultimately in the bigger picture, where we're transitioning off of ICE or gas cars and vehicles, and we're transitioning completely to electric cars and vehicles. And this transition, even though it's not gonna happen overnight, it's happening. And if you look at the California stats, it's quite obvious. Number eight, the Tesla Model 3 3 demolished every single car in its category. The Tesla Model 3 sold 59,500. Compare that to the next car in its category, which is the Mercedes C-Class. It sold 13,500. In other words, the Tesla Model 3 sold over 4 times the amount of the Mercedes C-Class. Take the BMW 3 Series. It sold about 11,500. The Lexus ES sold about 11,300. And the Audi A3 sold about 2,600. And if you've watched my previous videos, you'll know that the main reason is because Tesla is providing just a far superior car than anything else in its category. Number 9, the Tesla Model 3 took 43.7% of the near luxury car market. Now, the California New Car Dealership Report kind of groups Tesla Model 3 into the so-called near luxury car market. And in this car market, Tesla Model 3 at 59,500 cars took 43% of the market. The next was Mercedes C-Class at 13,500 cars, took about 10% or 9.9% of the market. BMW 3 Series at 11,400 cars took about 8.4% of the market. The Lexus ES took about 8.3% of the market at 11,300 cars. And the BMW 4 Series took about 4.5% of the market. This reminds me of a post that I made back in 2014. It was more of a thought exercise of what could happen if Tesla could dominate a market segment that much. But the reality is here we have in 2020 in California, Tesla approaching 50% of its market segment. Number 10, the Tesla Model Y will likely dominate the luxury compact SUV segment. In this segment, we have the Mercedes GLC class at 15,900 vehicles, the Lexus NX at 13,600 vehicles, the BMW X3 at 12,100 vehicles, the Audi Q5 at 12,000 vehicles, and the Acura RDX at 8,000 vehicles. So if the Model 3, let's say, sold 59,500 units in 2019 in California, what do you think the Model Y will sell in California once it gets into full production? Now, full production won't happen this year, but perhaps next year, Tesla will sell a boatload of Model Ys in California. And how many units will that be? Well, we can speculate that Tesla will sell a lot more Model Ys than Model 3s. The Model Y is just overall, I think, a more appealing car. I mean, it's got more cargo space, it's got more passenger space, and it has an amazing range as well. I think it's quite possible that Tesla in 2021 sells about 80,000 to maybe even 90,000 Model Ys in California. Now, what does that mean? That means that it's likely, or I think probable, that Tesla can sell more Model Ys in California than the next 5 compact luxury SUVs that are out there. In other words, I think they'll dominate their category just like the Model 3 is dominating their category, and they can approach that 50% market share possibly. Last week, I did 2 super important videos. The first one was crossing the chasm and how new technologies go mainstream. And I followed up that video with another video focusing on the beachhead strategy, which is basically taking one market segment at a time. In the crossing the chasm video, I explained how tech adoption works. In the beginning, tech usually is adopted by early adopters, and they're willing to go through the extra pain of kind of doing hacks to adopt this new technology. It's not very convenient, but the new adopters are excited about it. However, to make the jump over the chasm into the mainstream, this product needs to be easy, it needs to be convenient, and it needs to be a whole product. In other words, when you relate that to cars, the ecosystem that, for example, Tesla gives needs to be more compelling than the ecosystem that the IC cars have. However, that's daunting because the IC ecosystem is amazing with hundreds of thousands, if not more, gas stations all over the world, and you don't have to worry about long distance travel ever. And Tesla is the only company that is thinking from a whole product standpoint. They're providing the supercharging, they're providing the extra long range, they're providing the technology and the safety and the whole package to make a more compelling product than what's existing in the IC world. And that's why Tesla has been basically the only company that's been able to cross the chasm and jump over into the mainstream. What's more concerning for these IC automakers is they've been so slow to even emulate Tesla's strategy. I mean, the first thing they need to do is they need to establish their own supercharging network. And this supercharging network needs to be dense. And it needs to be easy. And it can't be this hodgepodge, like, you know, things of all these different type of chargers that don't really work with each other, and it's super hard to charge a car going with long distance trips. Rather, it needs to be a seamless experience. And I think there's a window of opportunity that IC automakers have, and this window is closing slowly over time. Automakers need to step up, and they need to start spending billions of dollars to roll out their own dense supercharging networks. And until they do so, I don't think we're gonna have a second place Tesla competitor. In my follow-up video to the Crossing the Chasm video, which I talk about beachhead strategy, now this is a super important video that I encourage you to watch if you haven't. However, I talk about how new products make it over to mainstream, and they need to target a niche or a specific market segment, and they need to dominate that market segment. And only when they dominate that market segment, they can branch off to adjacent markets. And this is what's happening with Tesla Model 3. Tesla's focused their efforts completely on this BMW kind of 3 series, Mercedes C-Class series market. And Tesla's number one goal from back 10 years ago was to dominate this market and to establish a preeminent position compared to other cars in this market segment. And what you're seeing in California is you're seeing the results of that strategy. Tesla's completely dominating its category, and now Tesla can move on to adjacent market segments and start to dominate those adjacent market categories. What's interesting though is when you start to go to the adjacent market segment, you can now leverage all the technology and all the benefits that you brought to your whole product. For example, all the superchargers that Tesla set up for the Model S, X, and 3, now they're applied to the Model Y. So as a Model Y owner, you have access to that incredibly dense supercharger network. Not only that, the Model Y takes advantage of all the autopilot software and all of the technology that Tesla brings to its cars. All of the battery costs, right? They're just going lower and lower, and Model Y is taking advantage of that. Everything that Tesla has focused on, has made improvements over time, and everything that they've brought into their ecosystem to become a whole product, now it's transferred over to their next product, which is the Model Y, and that's why the Model Y will likely dominate this category as well. By tackling one market segment at a time, Tesla is using this beachhead strategy. They're using the exact right strategy they need to go mainstream and to go into adjacent markets. Now, what's interesting about what's happening in California is that it's a geography that in a way, it kind of represents what might happen in other geographies around the world. Now, let's look at California. Why is the Tesla Model 3 dominating in California and its market? I think there are a few reasons. First, California is closest to Tesla's headquarters in Fremont. Tesla is kind of a homegrown company and the brand is strongest in California. Second, Tesla has the most dense supercharging network in California, and in fact, it's growing. Just in a few years, Tesla has been aggressively adding supercharging stations in California. And myself, living in California, I can just go every like 20 or 30 minutes, there's a new supercharging station. What this does is it significantly decreases range anxiety, and it really improves the appeal of the electric car. Another reason why I think Tesla is doing well in California is because of social proof. The more people that buy Tesla, the more Teslas you see on the road. Back in the day when I had my early Model S, I remember people would stop me on the street all the time and say, oh my gosh, is that a Tesla? Can I look into it? And they were fascinated that they could actually see a Tesla and they wanted to know more about it. Fast forward in 2020, now people look at a Tesla and they don't give it a second glance because Teslas are everywhere in California. Back in the day, the general perception was like, why would you want a Tesla? That's kind of a strange purchase. It's really just for kind of like these outliers, unique people. However, now it's more like a generally accepted thing. It's like, oh yeah, you got a Tesla, that makes sense. And even for some people, it's becoming this thing of, why would you want to get a BMW when you can get actually a Tesla? Another reason why Tesla is doing well in California is they just got the best tech. I mean, their whole experience, it just makes sense. It just works, right? You go in the car, the screen, the navigation, the autopilot, it just works and it helps everything. And when you compare it to other cars that have like this dinky navigation screen that you can barely see, or even a lot of cars, they don't even come with navigation. The Tesla Model 3 just outshines every other car in its category. And still yet another reason why I think Tesla is doing well in California is because it's an ultimate commuter car. It's got autopilot, so you can kind of relax on your commute. It totally reduces kind of the level of fatigue people have when commuting, especially if you've got a long commute of like an hour or two every day. Another thing is it's got an extremely low cost of ownership when you factor in kind of charging. And then in addition to that, California has a lot of carpool lanes. So if you're using an electric car like the Tesla Model S, you get access to carpool lanes, which even speed up your commute even more. And what's happening in California, you've got all of these forces kind of working together. You got more and more cars on the road. You've got Tesla improving its product. You've got kind of the brand and the trust just growing, the density of superchargers growing. And what's happening is creating kind of a tipping point where now in California, Tesla has gone mainstream. It's crossed over the chasm and it's now an accepted product. But not just an accepted product, it's becoming a dominating product. And I think that this type of phenomenon is gonna spread out to different geographies. It's just a matter of how that density evolves over time. And at a certain point, it becomes like a tipping point where it just becomes a dominating thing. Tesla overtakes the market and it achieves just a massive market share. I think all of this bodes extremely well for Tesla's future, especially for the Model Y. Now with the Model Y, it's an amazing car. I've personally seen it twice. I got to spend about 10 or 15 minutes even sitting in the Model Y. The Model Y is basically everything good about the Model 3, but even better. In other words, you sit in the Model Y and it's just like the Model 3 in a sense. It's like got the same screen, the same seats, and basically everything, yet it's kind of higher off the ground. So people who like that will really appreciate it. Not only that, it's got a huge cargo space. You've got this lift gate and this really big trunk. It really solves, in my opinion, the big kind of pain point or limiting factor of the Model 3. Now, I've had the Model 3 over 2 years, and it's been a fantastic car. I think it's the most underrated car ever, perhaps. However, with the Model Y, it's gonna solve my biggest pain point with the Model 3, which is lack of storage. And not only that, for Tesla, they've shared that it costs the same to produce the Model Y for them as the Model 3. In other words, they have a lot of flexibility with the price to drive demand. If they want to push demand higher, they can actually lower the price of the Model Y. And because most of the parts of the Model Y are shared with the Model 3, Tesla can take advantage of a lot of the economies and scale. And it makes their ramping of the Model Y a lot easier than the initial ramping of the Model 3. It's going to be an exciting time to see the Model Y ramp. And I think it's going to take some time for people to digest and understand the significance of the Model Y. Overall, the Tesla Model Y is Tesla's disciplined and ruthless strategy to take over one market segment at a time. Their goal is not necessarily just to compete with other SUVs in its category. Rather, Tesla's goal really is to dominate this market segment. Tesla wants to decimate and get rid of the SUV and car altogether. It's a war of sorts, and Tesla is immensely focused on that. But because it's a war against the IC vehicle, it's also another reason why these other automakers are having a hard time. Who wants to make war against yourself? Who wants to decimate your own most profitable products? It's going to be a challenge, and it's going to take some visionary leadership for these IC automakers to survive long term. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, I encourage you to do so. Here we're looking at investment and other topics through a deeper lens. We're not trying to take the shallow or the surface level explanation. Rather, we're trying to look at it from different angles. We're trying to go beneath things, and we're trying to see things earlier than others do. While some are afraid to, say, poke and pry, here in this channel, I'm encouraging the questioning and the poking and the uncovering of things. Let's look beneath things and really try to understand things clearly and for what they are. All right, for the rest of it, I'm going to answer a question from viewers. Recently, viewers have been asking about the coronavirus and its impact on Tesla and overall markets. I want to share some thoughts about this. All right, today as I speak, the Dow is down 1,000 points, and it's been a big market drop. Over the weekend, there's been a lot of reports of the coronavirus spreading to South Korea and other countries, and people are getting the jitters. Now, first, I think it's extremely difficult to predict, let's say, short-term movements and to predict where the market's going to be on a short-term basis. If there's anyone who claims to be fail-proof, to say that they have 100% accuracy in predicting where the stock price is going to go over the next few days or few weeks, I think that's delusional. There's no way you can predict something like that with 100% accuracy. There's just too many moving parts involved. The best thing we can do is assess the different probability and odds. However, with short-term movements, the odds and complexity are so immense. And that's where I think the long-term investor with a long-term view actually has quite a big advantage. If my focus is kind of on the short term and my focus is on trading, there's going to be a lot of anxieties, and what to do might not be very clear for me at this moment. However, by having more of a long-term view, I have less anxiety. In other words, I sleep well at night. Whether the market is down 1,000 points or 2,000 points or even 3,000 points, even if the Dow goes down 10,000 points over the next 3 or 4 months, I'm sleeping well at night, and it's because I have a long-term view. But not only that, my cost basis in my long-term investments is so low. In other words, my Tesla investments, for example, my overall cost basis is well under $100. So it doesn't really matter for me if Tesla's at $300 or $1,000. In fact, in recent months, when Tesla has risen from $200 to $900, my lifestyle and my life choices, even my perspective on life, really hasn't changed at all. So in some ways, the massive volatility is countered by two things, kind of my long-term perspective looking 5 to 10 years out, but also on my past actions in terms of getting into certain investments early enough where I have a low cost basis. And I think people underestimate kind of the advantages that these two things bring, the long-term view, but also the low cost basis. For example, some people, when they have a lot of profit, they just want to get out of that trade because they want to maximize and secure their profits. However, if it's really a long-term, let's say generational company that's going to grow, in your opinion, but not just with the opinion, but let's say you do have skilled quantitative and qualitative analysis, and you're looking at this company doing a 10x gain, let's say within 10 years, and then you combine that with your historical actions of getting into that company at an early spot where you have a low cost basis. When you combine these two things, it leads to a significant advantage in terms of being able to handle volatility. Now, here's some additional thoughts with coronavirus specifically. And my thoughts will change over time, especially as more information comes out. So this is just my current snapshot thoughts at this moment regarding coronavirus, and it will change for sure. But I think there are two sides of this coronavirus. And one side is, I think the coronavirus really is impacting business. If you look at Apple's statement recently where they reduced their quarterly guidance. And they're saying that's really affecting their suppliers and it's really affecting demand because people just aren't shopping in China. And with the world economy being so entwined and connected together, if you have a violent economic shock, let's say in China, where demand for products and the whole economic engine kind of grinds to a slow pace, that could affect other countries and the global economy at large. Oftentimes, when you look at economic indicators, those indicators often are lagging indicators. In other words, they're looking at the past. But what's more important is like what's happening today and how that's affecting the future. And I think some of the impact of the coronavirus that's going to hit demand, it's going to hit products, is going to show up probably in next quarter's earning reports for some companies. Further, it looks like the virus is still spreading, and it looks like this virus actually is quite formidable. Even if you ask me, it's like, hey, Dave, do you want to go on a plane to Asia right now and travel around there? It's like, I have to think twice about that, right? I'm not very excited about that scenario. However, there's another side of the picture regarding the coronavirus. The economy at large is generally resilient. Sure, there are times of fragility, but it's not that often. And even in times of recession, most likely the economy rebounds. It's able to pick up and even grow bigger over time. The power of the economic engine of a free market system is immense, and I don't think it's fully appreciated or understood by many people. The other side of coronavirus is the timing. I think it's a seasonality thing, and that's my opinion. And I think when flu season and the winter season kind of fades away, I think we're gonna see a fading of the coronavirus, at least for this year. In other words, as the weather warms up, I think we're gonna see the reduction of the coronavirus. So in the short term, I think by maybe mid-April or so, we're gonna see a significantly lower amount of coronavirus cases. However, there is a bigger issue and question at hand, and that is kind of like this issue of pandemic or kind of these viruses that just seem to get stronger and stronger over time. It kind of puts a question mark kind of on the next 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. What are the possibilities of other strains of viruses and other forms of illnesses or sicknesses that spread around the world? It's definitely something to be aware of and think about. On a personal level, it's something I've been taking a lot of action with. Over the past 5 years, I've done a ton of things to improve and boost my immunity so that I won't get sick during flu season. And as we see kind of a growing risk of these certain illnesses, let's say spreading globally, I think it's important to look into your personal life, into your personal health, and take it very seriously. Now, regarding specifically Tesla and how coronavirus maybe affects Tesla as an investment. Because I have such a long-term perspective, I'm not really looking at coronavirus as necessarily a big risk to Tesla long-term. Sure, in the short term, it could affect, for example, some suppliers. Let's say suppliers in China, maybe they have to shut down for like a month or two, and that might affect the supply chain and the amount of cars that Tesla is able to produce. That could, in turn, reduce the number of units that Tesla could sell in Q1 or even Q2, and reduce kind of their gross profit and even their net income. But over time, and if you have a long-term perspective, I think a lot of these things tend to pass. But if your focus is just on the short term, then it could be an anxious time. People are so focused like on the short-term price, and they're so focused on the stock price. What's it doing? How is it going up or down? And what's going to happen over the next month or two? However, I'm more interested in the core business, in the core product. I want to know how superior the products from this company are. I want to know how this company is able to defend that superiority over time. I'm looking at the management strategy. I'm looking at their clear thinking. I'm looking at their growth ahead, and I'm looking at the bigger picture. All right, I hope this video has been helpful. I want to encourage you to like the video, to go ahead and ask a question or comment in the comment section, and share this video with as many people as you can. Share it on Facebook, on Reddit, on forums, with your friends. Really get the word out, and that's really gonna help this channel. Anyways, I hope to see you in my next video. Thanks.